Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into the last sermon of the year. Welcome into God's house this Sunday morning. Welcome to Long Meadow Church, the Brethren, for the sermon titled On My Shoulder. And our scripture lesson comes from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And while you're looking that up, I was out lunch this week with a very good friend of mine who travels the United States on business. And we were sitting there and he said, Paul, let me tell you, I saw something I never thought I'd see. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, I was way down south, way in the deep south. He said, I was so far down south, he said, I couldn't believe that we were still in the United States. And I said, all right, Finn, tell me what was going on then that has you so stirred up. He said, well, I was in this town and they only had one church, but they had this great big nativity scene set up. And they had all this stuff in it. And when I happened by it, I took note that the three wise men were dressed in firefighting outfits. They were dressed up like firemen. And I stood there and I looked at that thing for a minute and I said, well, what's the big deal? And he said, I went to the local grocery store and I was talking to him at the checkout. And I said, hey, I noticed the big church. It's all pretty. Yep, we are right proud of that church. He said in that deep southern drawl, and I said, he said, I looked at him, he said, I like that nativity. He goes, yep, we are right proud of that nativity. He said, I was kind of stunned that you three wise men were dressed up in fire outfits. Why? The cashier looked at me and said, sir, don't you read your Bible? He goes, yes, I do. I go to church. I know my Bible very well. He said, then you ought to know that the Bible said that the three wise men came from a fire. Finishing our wise men theme, because tonight we ride. John chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is used and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. And he saw Jesus lying there and learned that he had been in this. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and learning he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Pick up your mat. And walk. May God add his blessings to this passage as we seek him out in prayer. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love that we are here with you this morning, Father, and we ask that these words that you have given be strengthening to our hearts and our minds. That we will use them in this week to come to take us forth. Surround us with the Holy Spirit in this moment, Father, and let us be strong. Let us have these words with us to talk to others about the love of Jesus Christ and let them know that hope is never lost. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. And all of his children said, amen. My goodness gracious. If you look around outside, that is a gray day out there. Can you say amen? Amen? Now, and I'm going to ask you to be honest because you are in church, and if you lie, then, you know, you're liable to get smited on top of the head. How many people just want to be at home, curled up on the couch in front of the fire or a warm space heater in a blanket with hot chocolate or tea or coffee and just all snuggled in? Doesn't that just appeal to you? Say amen. Amen. You don't want to be here listening to me. You're like, I had to get up on this gray day and go to church because if I don't, Paul marks it down in his book and he'll write me later on this week and say, why weren't you there? And I have to say, it just didn't look very good outside today, Paul. And he'll say, well, how do you think Jesus felt? But it's that kind of day. And I get it. Everybody has those moments. In my house, we have the Festival of the Blankets. Everybody in my house has 14,582 blankets that they walk around that house with bundled up. I swear I live with all of the Linuses from the Snoopy cartoon. And yesterday, my wife received yet another blanket that's got a muffler in it so she can put her hands on. When she sits on the couch with all her blankets, she looks like Nanook of the North. I may have dated myself with that one. Have you ever been outside and had to work on a gray day? Been outside in that weather, walked out on a gray day, looked around and went, yeah, I just want to go back in the house and get under my 16,845 blankets. And I want to turn on my space heater and get all warm and snuggly, or my fireplace. Or if you're at my house on Christmas morning, we don't have a space heater and we don't have a fireplace. So we turn on one of them videos on the television that makes it look like we have a fireplace. And I walk up to the television every year because my family has learned to put up with it. And I stand in front of the television and I go, ooh, man, it feels so good. And they all say the same thing. Would you please sit down and be quiet? My family loves me. It's miserable outside. It's cold. But then there's that moment when the sun peeks out for a moment. Just that brief moment. And you warm up and suddenly everything feels fresh and new. We were sitting here this morning and I was contemplating this sermon. And maybe you all saw my head whip around for a moment. But in the throes of everything, as gray as it is outside those windows outside there, the sun peeked out for a moment just a little bit ago and lit up everything and made me feel warm. And you know how it makes you feel. You feel warm and lifted. You feel new. You feel comforted. You feel ready. Douglas Meyer was 15 years old, living in Creve Coeur, Missouri. I don't know who named that town. Had been feeling bad for several days. His temperature was ranging between 105 and 103. He was suffering from flu-like symptoms, and finally, Mama took him to the hospital over in St. Louis. And during the testing, Douglas, at 15 years old, was discovered to have leukemia. The doctor sat him down and talked to him straightforward and very frank terms about his disease. They said that for the next 3 years, he'd have to undergo chemotherapy to get rid of it. They didn't pull back on the side effects. They told him that he would go bald and his body would bloat and it would not be pleasant. Douglas went into a deep depression. He felt sad and he was unable to be consoled at 15 years old to learn this. His aunt called a local flower shop and asked to send Douglas an arrangement of flowers in hopes that it would help him in some way. She told the clerk that it was for her teenage nephew who was suffering from leukemia. When the flowers arrived at the hospital, they were beautiful. Douglas read the card from his aunt that said, "Feel better." And as he was contemplating the beauty of those flowers, he noticed another card stuck down inside of him. Nobody had seen it. He plucked the card out. The following words were written on the second card. It said, "Douglas, I took your order. I am the main flower arranger over here at Brick's Florist. I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I'm 22 years old now. I will pray for you. Good luck. My heart goes out to you. Sincerely, Laura Bradley." Those in the room said that the gray mood had suddenly dissipated when he looked up from the card and said, "Oh, why?" And the sunlight hit him. in a hospital filled with millions of dollars of the most sophisticated equipment, being treated by expert doctors and nurses with medical training totaling in hundreds of years. A sales clerk making $170 a week, taking a moment to write down, being willing to put her heart out, lifted Douglas from that gray day to a warm feeling, to feeling the sunshine, to feeling the love, to feeling that lifting now placed on his shoulders. He said, if it was somebody had warmly touched him on my shoulder. Amen. I started into this whole sermon, unsure and unsteady, asking, please point out the exact right scripture. Now, I ask that quite often, and it comes pretty quickly. But this time, I had to search and dig and dig and search, and I kept asking, until finally I tripped across this sermon, this scripture, looking for something else, the lame man that was made healed by the pool. And how did I know? About 4 or 5 days ago, I was watching some excerpts from some web page or something somewhere that puts out these feel-good encouragement things. And sometimes I watch them and I go, blech. And sometimes I watch them and I go, But on this particular day, they extrapolated a scene from that series, The Chosen, where Jesus walks up to this man and they played it out. And when I saw that a couple of days ago and saw this scripture, it suddenly hit me. Imagine you are laid up for 38 years. The Bible doesn't say how old he is. The Bible doesn't say he was laid up from day one. The Bible says he had suffered from it for 38 years. Now, how many people in here have ever mashed a finger? Say amen. And how long have you suffered with it? What, 5, 6 days? You imagine having a mashed finger for 38 years? Can you imagine that feeling? Can you imagine the lostness? Can you imagine the hopelessness? And here he was, laid by that pool, where every day the angel would come down, stir it up, and the first person in the pool received the benefit. I'll set that scene for you. People laying around it, coughing, sneezing, hurt, sick, lame. But the Bible makes it extremely clear that this man could not get to the pool. He couldn't get close enough to it. Those that were around there were able to get in before him. And so every day he lays and watches as people get healed and walk away. That's a gray day. That's a dreary feeling. That's a feeling of lostness. That's a feeling of hopelessness. And he's lying there in pain. He's lying there unable to move. And Jesus saw him lying there. And the Bible says in verse 6, and when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, Jesus comes out with his disciples. Jesus is there for the moment. So much love and so much compassion as he walks into this place of hurt and pain and looks around and finds this man. His disciples see him focused on it. Teacher, he has been here forever. Jesus goes over to him and says, do you want to be well? Now imagine the response at that moment. The Bible makes it that the man said, of course I do. But how am I supposed to get well? Every day when that angel comes down, or whenever that spirit comes down, whatever it is that comes down and touches that water, I can't get there. Why would you ask me this? What, are you going to stand here today and drag me over there? Who are you? Why would you ask me that question? Do you want to be well? I do. But I can't. Jesus looks at him and I that feeling, looking into the face of our Savior at that moment and says to him, pick up that mat and walk. I'd like to know what went on at that moment. I'd like to know if that man just suddenly caught in that countenance, felt that touch on his shoulder and knew there was warmth and love and tenderness and compassion and faith and hope and reality and salvation. Once the man was cured and he picked up his mat and walked. When I get lost into sadness, when I get looking that all hope is gone, when I look at things, a lot of people are putting a lot of stock this year into the simple fact that we're going to have a new year. You're going to see it all over the place. All these New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make my New Year's resolution. Okay, you ready? And it ain't a grand and glorious thing. And I would ask that you would take it along with you. I'm going to trust and put more faith in Jesus Christ every day this year. I need to do that. I do not do it enough. When those gray skies get after me, I need to be reminded when the sunlight pokes through, that warmth on my shoulder is Him telling me, I have you. Believe in me. Trust in me. And don't just do it because it's a brand new year. Do it every day because I'm here. I love you. Bob Green wrote that story back in 1987 about young Douglas Marr. 2,000 years ago, the story was written about someone who was lame and could not walk, and all saw was gray days. And then in the moment, hope was restored. When I've done so many New Year's Eve sermons and I've done so many New Year's Day sermons, but I don't want to do that this year. I want to, on this day, remind you that now and every day, we have hope, we have salvation, we have faith, we have love, we have warmth, we have care. We have Jesus Christ, who was born and died for our sins, who we believe in, who restores us daily by His hand on my shoulder. Now, I'm sure, and Greg Kiefer, and I'm saying that out loud, Greg, because you did it this morning. I am positive, and he proved it, that every single one of you that picked up the bulletin this morning and looked down at that sermon title, all of you did the exact same thing, didn't you? Sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy. Say amen, because you did. And you know why? Because I was listening to that song this week and it suddenly popped into my head. Hey! John Denver was describing how he wrote Sunshine on My Shoulders. He said, I was up in Minnesota in the late winter. Now, as far as I know, Minnesota does not have spring or summer. It's just cold and miserable all the time. And I have friends up there who, after they see this, will call me up and say, would you stop saying that stuff? But he described himself as being up there in late winter, early spring. He said it was a gray day. It was cold outside. The wind was blowing and it was slushy. It was too cold to go outside and have fun. It was miserable. He said, I was sitting there looking through the windows and I was ready for that warmth of that touch of spring. You just want to get outdoors again. You're just waiting for that sun to shine. And you remember how sometimes just the sun itself can make you feel good. Now he said S-U-N, but I'm telling you, just sometimes the sun, S-O-N, and his touch on my shoulder can make me feel good. He said, and in that very melancholy frame of mind, I wrote Sunshine on My Shoulders. Now the song, which he put on the B-side of some 45 record, and for those of you that are young that may be watching this, 45s are made of wax and they play on a special machine. And if you don't know about it, ask your parents. But he put it on the B-side of a record that he thought was going to be popular. And suddenly somebody played it. And it was reported that, quote, a soft, tender ballad receives treatment to the task. And the pretty lyrics come shining through as a result and lift your spirits in the greatest of days, in the most moment when you lost hope. A good remedy for relaxation in these troubled times. That was written in 1974. Of course, we know the song went to number one. Everybody that knows that song, the minute I put those words down, you've walked around, sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine on my shoulders makes me cry. The rest of the song, if you don't remember, goes on to tell of a tale that John Denver had in his mind for happiness and for being lifted and for garnering one of the most important things that we need to do is not allow ourselves to be constantly in the face of feeling lost. Gray days like this, or days when it's cold and bitter, instead of being lost, we need to remember, as G.K. Chesterton said, we need to have hope. Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless in our minds that Jesus shines and hope becomes our strength and we feel Him within us. Hope. And hope leads to that great word, five letters, faith. And we all have faith, right? Amen. It's never tested. We never wonder, do we? Say amen. Oh, really? I know mine is tested, and there are times I lose my hope, and I lose my faith, and I lose that gray day, or I lose that feeling, and I fall into that gray moment, and I get surrounded by, why me, why me, woe is me, what in the world, what did I do wrong? I'm the preacher, I'm not supposed to have anything go wrong, why can't I win the lottery? That's where my thoughts go. And yet, hope, when it doesn't seem that you should, is what strengthens your faith. One night a house caught fire, and a young boy had to run up onto the roof. The father stood below with outstretched arms, calling to his boy, jump, I'll catch you, jump, I'll catch you. But as the boy looked down through the fire and the smoke and could not see anything, he became fearful. And the father kept yelling, jump, jump, I'll catch you. I see you when you cannot see me. And the boy jumped, and when he landed in his father's arms, he said, Daddy, I couldn't see you, but I knew you could see me. And that became all that mattered. Brothers and sisters, even in our darkness, even in those gray days, even when we feel that hope is gone, even when our faith is being tested, even when we wonder why, He sees us and you feel His hand on your shoulder. That sunshine in that gray day makes me cry. Brothers and sisters, as we face this brand new year, as we step forward into it, I encourage you to pray without ceasing, to have faith without failure, to allow hope to invade everything, and understand that regardless, our faith in Jesus Christ, our belief in Him, will carry us through in all things, in all times. And when it's gray, and it will be, just remember that the sun, S-O-N, shine on your shoulders is there. And it will make you happy. May God bless and keep each and every one of you for this new year. May you be blessed. May you be made full and rich. And whatever obstacles are in your way, may you know that the best thing to do is to turn to Christ and put that in prayer to Him. I ask that blessing upon each and every one of you. And just remember the touch on my shoulder. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We pray, Father, that you will lift us up whenever we call, that we are failing as human beings because that's what we are. But that in those moments that you remind us, the human beings right now we may be, but glorious creation, loved children, paid for by your sacrifice of your Son, we are blessed. We are given hope. We are strengthened with our faith. And we are loved for all eternity. Thank you, Father, for everything. And I ask that you bless and watch over and keep us there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.